This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. The program is your connection to local music. And we're connecting today with the University of Illinois Summer Piano Institute, which opened yesterday and runs through Thursday, with private lessons for the students, master classes, and a concert each evening. The first few evenings by members of the faculty. The first of those was last night by William Hylas and the other faculty members, Rochelle Sennett, Timothy Allen, and Ian Hobson. Ian Hobson will be my guest later on in the program to talk about some of the activities of the Institute and some of those recitals. And we'll be playing a few excerpts anticipating what you can hear on those recitals during the program today. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was a polka, a gallop by Johann Strauss Sr., his Fire of Youth Gallop, a performance by the Gaudier Ensemble on WYLL 90.9 FM and HD Urbana. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. And the Summer in a Piano Institute at the University of Illinois started yesterday with classes during the day and a concert, the first of several concerts by faculty members of the Institute, including William Hylas, who's head of the piano department at the University of Illinois. And so you missed that one, but here are a couple of movements from the last of the pieces that he played on the program. Before we play it, the rest of the program had some variations by Haydn, the Davidsbündler Dances by Robert Schumann, and music by Ravel in the second half, including his Tombeau de Couperin, the Tomb of Couperin, literally. Music was meant as a tribute to the time of François Couperin and the period of the French Baroque. But also the tomb part was a reference to Ravel's dedication of the piece and inspiration by a number of his friends who had died during the First World War. Here is the prelude. And we'll hear the slow movement called the Forlan as well from the Tombeau de Couperin of Ravel, which appeared on William Hylas' recital last night at the Krannert Center in Urbana. Those were two movements from the Tombeau de Couperin, the Tomb of Couperin by Maurice Ravel, and I actually switched one of them from what I announced that I would play. We heard the prelude and the rigodon in a performance by Pascal Roget here on FM 90.9. That was the last work on the recital given by University of Illinois Piano Department Chair William Hylas last night, which was itself the first of four recitals being given by the four faculty members at the University of Illinois Summer Piano Institute, which began yesterday and runs through the 2nd of July. Ian Hobson is directing that institute, and he will be here later on in the program to talk about things going on there. So I will not go into any details because I don't know very many of them. But I do know who else is on the faculty and giving recitals and when those recitals are. They're all at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in the Follinger Great Hall, all at 7:30 in the evening. And the second of them will be tonight, featuring pianist Rochelle Sennett. We'll hear an excerpt from that recital in just a moment, or rather one of the pieces that will appear on that recital. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. At WYNL, our success depends on the financial support of the people we serve. If you listen to us regularly, you know that. If you are new to us, you may or may not know that. And either way, you may not know just what all that means. In one way of speaking, it means that the power is in your hands. State and federal budgets are not set, and we don't know what support they will provide. It has been less and less in recent years. We are within $120,900 of having the money needed to bring you the service you expect from us in the coming year. And as we work to raise the remaining money in the next 2 days, we ask you to do what you can. And again, if you're new to the station, you may not know that, first of all, you can help, and second, just how important it is that you do help if you are able. You can call 217-244-9455 and make your contribution, or do it just as easily, if not easier, by logging on to willpledge.org. That's willpledge.org. Again, the phone number 217-244-9455. And thank you for your contributions to support this program and everything you hear on FM 90.9. Rochelle Sennett is a teaching associate in piano at the University of Illinois, recently finished her doctorate here. And on her program tonight is music by John Corigliano. I actually heard her for the first time during a concert, I forget how many years ago it was now, of all Corigliano music by for many different ensembles, including a huge piece for band and pieces for flute, if I recall, and a solo piano piece that she performed marvelously well. Corigliano was in the audience for that concert, and she's doing an Etude Fantasy of his to open things off. And the rest of the program is music either by Franz Liszt or by other people as rearranged by Franz Liszt. He was very good at doing that sort of thing and did it a lot. Here is an example from the program. This is music by Giuseppe Verdi as paraphrased by Franz Liszt, as he described it. It's from music from the opera Rigoletto. This performer is pianist Georges Bolet, but it will be played on tonight's recital at the Krannert Center by Rochelle Sennett of the University of Illinois Summer Piano Institute. Music by Franz Liszt, or really originally by Giuseppe Verdi, Franz Liszt's paraphrase on themes from Verdi's opera Rigoletto, as played by Georges Bolet here on FM 90.9. And as that piece will be performed live tonight by pianist Rochelle Sennett, who is a faculty artist at the University of Illinois and on the faculty of the U of I Summer Piano Institute, which is going on now at the School of Music here. And we're running down some samples from the faculty recitals that you can hear at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts during the week. That's tonight at 7:30 with Rochelle Sennett. William Hylas played last night. Faculty artist Timothy Allen will perform tomorrow night, a program of music by Beethoven and Schubert. Three sonatas, including of Beethoven, including the famous Moonlight Sonata, and also Schubert's Wanderer Fantasy. That's tomorrow at 7:30. Ian Hobson performing Wednesday at 7:30, and he will be my guest in a few minutes here on FM 90.9 to talk about the Summer Piano Institute. And then on Thursday, it is the gala recital, or the gala concert, with a number of selected students who are participating in the program, and that should be fun on Thursday night. All of those at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in the Follinger Great Hall. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And for our next selection, I thought we would hear the final movement of one of the sonatas that is on Timothy Allen's recital tomorrow night. As I said, three piano sonatas of Beethoven, including his second sonata, his Opus 2, number 2. Here's the final rondo as played by Wilhelm Kempff on FM 90.9. That was a performance by Wilhelm Kempff of the final rondo of the second of Beethoven's piano sonatas, the Opus 2, number 2, which is on the program Tuesday night at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts with the pianist Timothy Allen, who is a member of the faculty at the University of Illinois and also of the Summer Piano Institute, which the university is sponsoring this week. It opened yesterday and runs through the 2nd of July. And the 4th of the faculty recitals will be on Wednesday evening with pianist Ian Hobson. That will also be at 7:30. And he's my guest on Live and Local here on FM 90.9 to tell us a little bit about the Institute, what goes on, and what was the motivation, Ian, for having a Summer Piano Institute?
Well, the short answer is that the university summer programs ceased to be offered in music exactly 3 years ago. We used to have, you know, 8-week summer festivals. As you know, we had
right. We
had the concerts in the park and the orchestra and all sorts of things. And then for various reasons that dwindled to nothing. And I really wanted to make sure that we had something going on in piano in the summertime. And so we started it. This is the third one. So we started it in 2007. And we've done it within a very concentrated period of time, 1 week, 5 days. And there's a lot that goes on in those days. Recitals, the students play, a gala recital at the end where they all participate, and master classes in the afternoon, teaching in the morning. So it's a pretty intensive time.
Who comes to it?
Well, we have our own students from the University of Illinois, some doctoral students, master's students, undergraduates. We also have some high school kids who are interested in pursuing music or maybe interested in pursuing other things, but they have a strong interest in playing the piano, and their parents come as well to be with them. So we've had people ranging from the age of 13. We have a 13-year-old this year. Sometimes people who've finished college and just doing piano study on the side.
Is there an application process to get in?
Yes. It's very straightforward. We usually do it by tape. If we don't know the quality of people's playing, then we ask for some kind of audition tape.
So do you recall what the 13-year-old did on his audition tape, assuming that he had to do one, he or she?
Yes, I remember very well. It was part of the Pathetic Sonata of Beethoven on a videotape.
And I assume that it was surprisingly good if you accepted him into the program.
Yes, of course. I mean, we expect people to be... there are people of all sorts of different levels. It's not that everybody has to be in the top echelon of piano playing. We have all sorts, and everybody learns from each other, and it's a wonderful experience. We just started yesterday with meeting everybody, and we've been teaching starting today, we'll go through until Thursday when they play the final concert.
And in the master classes, you have them all mixed up into different levels of playing for each of you?
Yes, absolutely. And the master class, I mean, the four members of the faculty are our four members of the faculty from the school. So I try not to have students of a particular teacher playing in that teacher's master class. So we mix it up quite a lot. But a masterclass really is it's a group lesson. You know, it's a lesson for the person who's playing, but it's also a lesson for the audience too, to investigate what goes into interpretation, what goes into deciding on fingerings and pedaling and all of the little things that we have to worry about all the time. And how do you transform the music from in, let's say, 15, 20 minutes to make some tangible improvement, which is noticeable by the audience, or most of them. I think that's a measure of a success of a masterclass if there's a noticeable development in that short period of time.
Well, you hope so. I still remember it wasn't even a masterclass, but it ended up being like a duo class lesson when I first went to Northwestern, even before I got there, and had a sort of impromptu lesson with Dale Clevenger. And I remember coming out of there feeling I'd made more improvement in that 1 hour than I ever did before or since. And I don't know how often you have that much go on, but certainly, that's the whole point of their doing it, is come in and out.
And I certainly hope that I'd like to invite the members of the public and musical public and university public to attend these masterclasses, because they're taking place in the afternoon.
Oh, so that is open to the public.
That is open to the public, yes.
So where are they held then?
They're held on the Great Hall stage, as is everything this year, everything except the private lessons. So from 2 to 4 every afternoon, Monday through Thursday, there is a masterclass.
Each of those days given by a different one of you?
Each given by a different given by the person who played the night before.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
So they can have heard that person and then get the benefit of their comment and then maybe tie some things together if
yes.
they want.
Yeah.
You just brought in, sort of hot off the presses, a couple of new CDs that you made of music of Chopin, because on your recital on Wednesday evening.
Yes.
The program includes the wonderful pictures and exhibition of Modest Mussorgsky, which is a piece that really doesn't get heard all that often in the piano version.
Right, exactly.
It's more often heard for orchestra these days. But also all of the Chopin ballades.
Four ballades, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought maybe we'd hear something from this new disc of Chopin.
This is the beginning of a massive project, which is the complete works of Chopin, which I have recorded. I've recorded it all in Poland.
So they are all recorded now?
They're all recorded, but then they're just beginning to be released, the first two volumes, and it's sort of chronological. So the music on these discs is from Chopin's teen years, or even starting when he was 7 years old, some of the early polonaises.
So should we pick one of those polonaises or something else? On
yes, I think that would be an interesting thing to do. Perhaps the A-flat major polonaise, which is not the famous A-flat major.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't even have an opus number. It has B number, which I never heard of.
You know, this one, he developed a little bit. I think he was 9 years old when he wrote this one.
Incredible. And here's a performance by Ian Hobson of Chopin's music, heard on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Thank you.
That was one of the very early works of Frédéric Chopin, an A-flat major Polonaise, as Ian Hobson pointed out, not the famous one, which I initially thought this, I assumed this was when he handed me this disc just a bit ago, but it's volume one in Ian's traversal of the entire Chopin piano works, which you just said nobody else has done.
Well, it's not only the piano works, although they all include piano, but there is some chamber music, there are some songs. He never wrote any orchestral piece besides the concertos and the pieces that include piano.
And you don't even think of Chopin as having written songs in the first place, or chamber music. You know, nobody ever plays that stuff.
Well, the cello sonata is the last piece that he wrote, big piece that he wrote, and it's a gorgeous piece.
Well, we'll look forward to all that coming out. You said 16 CDs.
16 CDs, yeah.
And they're all in the can. They just need to be produced.
That's right.
By the time of his 200th birth anniversary in 2010.
That's right.
This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. We're talking with Ian Hobson about the University of Illinois Summer Piano Institute, which is going on right now. I'm going to take a break just for a moment and run down a few of the concerts that you can go hear or theater performances in the next couple of days. There's a concert tonight at 7 o'clock in Decatur by the Decatur Municipal Band. That's in Central Park, 7 o'clock tonight, a free program. And, of course, we've mentioned pianist Rochelle Sennett's recital, part of the Summer Piano Institute. That's at 7:30 this evening at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. Grassroots Revival is a bluegrass band playing at the Dockside Cafe at Kickapoo Landing in Kickapoo State Park in Oakwood tomorrow at 5:30. Singer-songwriter Denise LaGrassa is performing at Biaggi's in Champaign tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And pianist Timothy Allen giving his Summer Piano Institute recital tomorrow night at 7:30, also at the Krannert Center. And a couple of pieces of theater at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. It's The Wedding Singer. That's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And the Summer Studio Theater Company at the Krannert Center is presenting Tuesdays with Maury. That's tomorrow evening at 7:30. Both of those shows repeat Wednesday evening at those same times, although The Wedding Singer also has a Wednesday matinee, Wednesday at 2 o'clock. And you can see the musical rendition of The Full Monty, put on by the Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana. Performances Wednesday through the rest of the week, all of those at 8 o'clock. So those are just some of the other things you can do. And we bring them to you here on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. June 30th is just 2 days away. We still have over $120,000 left to meet our fundraising goal at the WYLL stations. You can help by making a contribution online at willpledge.org. That's willpledge.org. That's a lot of money, but it's a whole lot less money than we were telling you about on Friday. So a lot of progress has been made. We've got a lot more to go. If we want all of our programs intact starting the 1st of July. Again, it's willpledge.org to make your contribution online. Ian, give somebody a tour of a masterclass. If somebody doesn't even know what it is, they can come and find out, as you said, but what happens in a masterclass?
Well, many things can happen in a masterclass. I remember the first ones that I did, I think. I played for Vlado Perlmutter, who was a student of Ravel.
And I nearly played his recording earlier today.
He looked like Ravel. he had this very elegant way and played very, very sensitively. And he gave a class at the Royal Academy of Music, in late 60s. And he was teaching me Scarbo, which is from Gaspard Lanoui of Ravel, a big piece, very big piece. And he sat down and gave me the fingerings that Ravel had given him, or you know. And I'm not sure that was it was a wonderful thing for me, but I'm not sure it was terribly interesting for the public who was listening to this.
Probably not.
Sometimes I had another pianist, a famous pianist, who gave a class to me, and I played. And he sat with his back to the audience and whispered to me for 20 minutes. Now, the really good masterclasses are the ones where, as I said, the teacher, the performer, artist teacher who's giving the class speaks through the participating pianist to the audience and teaches everybody, involves everybody. And it's not like giving a lesson. If you're giving a private lesson, then you might concentrate on very, very specific small details of subtle details of phrasing or pedaling or whatever. In a masterclass, if you can get the most important concept about the piece over, or some, let's say there's one thing that recurs throughout, which is not being done terribly well by the pianist who's playing. If you can zero in on that, the big element which an improvement can be made almost immediately. That's the best way, or even the tempo, or the overall concept. If we can deal with the bigger issues like that, and somehow convey something to the audience, and also improve the playing of the student.
If you have somebody come in who plays something and it's a near total disaster, I mean, it's totally hypothetical, but where might you start in that case? Do you ever have trouble finding something really constructive to say that will both help the pianist and other people?
No, I think that the difficulty is if it's near perfection. If it's near perfection, what can you say? But that doesn't often happen, if ever. And, if things are not going well, and there are basic difficulties where the pianist can't even get through the music, then you have to concentrate on some of those basic tools and basic details of fingering, rhythm, and counting, and all that. I mean, you can still say something interesting about that, and I think we can all learn from that. So it doesn't have to be polished to the highest degree for a masterclass to be successful.
From previous classes where at least three of you have been continuous teachers, because you and Bill Hylas and Tim Allen have all been around mm-hmm. for the length of the Institute, Rochelle Sennett is new this year, correct?
Yes, Rochelle is just joined the faculty this year, and she did her doctoral studies with me, and I think she was one of the fastest people to complete the degree. It was amazingly efficient, pianistically and in a scholarly aspect as well.
So when you've seen these folks work, are you able to say, give any description of how differently the four of you teach? You know, when somebody comes in, what might be different things they would encounter from each of you?
Yes, of course, it's different. In what ways it's different? That's impossible to say. That's what makes it interesting. If I knew exactly what one of my colleagues was going to say in response to one of my students' performances, it would be a bit dull. I'm always interested to hear surprising things that they might say. You know, and sometimes we have this kind of interaction all the time, because we have students who are playing recitals and we all attend the concerts and we make comments about it afterwards. And I think that we all learn from the reactions that we get from our colleagues. It's not always what we expect. And we can say, okay, well, I didn't react that way to the students playing, or I thought this, or I thought that. But there's... You know, these are very thoughtful, intelligent people, and we gain a lot from the interaction and playing together and listening together and discussing together.
Do any of the students ever come to you and say, well, you know, you in private lessons suggested this, and then just in the master class the other day, the other guy said, do it that way, and then they've got to sort of sort things out.
Well, that's the crux of it. I made the speech yesterday to the participants when they joined us, and I said, you're having four lessons. You might have this. You might play the same piece for all four of us, and I hope that you have the people say completely different things to you about the performances. Don't worry if that's the case. That's perfectly normal. You know, it's not a science. It has to be played this way. It's something where suggestions, ideas, go back and forth, and then the pianist and the student makes their own decision in the end. I mean, I would hate it if people just sort of said, oh, I did what you told me. That's the way I play this.
And you see students who do things like that.
Of course, but I mean...
And they're not very interesting.
We try to say things that make sense, and therefore we hope that the student will take that to heart. But then it eventually has to become theirs, part of their own personality and part of their own thoughts about the music.
Talk a little bit about your performance on Wednesday night, The Pictures at an Exhibition. That always sounds to me like it's an incredible technical tour de force. Is it as difficult as it sounds?
It is. It's a kind of granitic piece. Mazowski was not very much of a pianist, and he wrote the music just as pure music. I'm surprised that he didn't orchestrate it himself, because many other people have taken the challenge of orchestrating, most notably Ravel, but there are many others who have orchestrated this. It's based on a set of paintings by Hartmann, and when you see these paintings, they're surprisingly smaller in scale than the music, particularly the Great Gate of Kiev, which is the last piece. If you look at the painting, it's a very small little, not very prepossessing, ornate gate, but you know, it's not as massive and monumental as the music sounds. But the Ravel that we're much more used to is one by one of the great orchestrators of our time, but he transforms it into a more exotic French style of piece, whereas the Mazowski is raw and rough, and one is trying to orchestrate it as a pianist. As I'm playing it, I'm trying to orchestrate it in my mind, not like the Ravel, which is opulent and beautifully shaped and so forth. But the Mazowski is more raw material.
Well, here's a short example of Ravel's orchestration, and then listeners will have to imagine the raw, or better yet, come hear you do it on Wednesday night. If I'm remembering the translation from the French, the ballet of... The chicks in their shells.
Chicks in their shells. Yeah.
This is the Berlin Philharmonic, led by Herbert von Karajan.
Thank you.
So you just have to imagine a much more percussive sound coming from the piano.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, having just heard that, it's a wonderful performance, and it's one of Ravel's greatest imaginative orchestrations. And if I can make it sound like that, I'll be very happy.
Ian Hobson, my guest on Live and Local here on FM 90.9, and it's the Summer Piano Institute at the University of Illinois. The master classes are open to the public between 2 and 4 each afternoon through Thursday on stage in the Great Hall, the Follinger Great Hall of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, and recitals by faculty members tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday, 7:30, and then the gala concert featuring the students on Thursday evening, also at 7:30. Appreciate very much your coming in.
Thank you.
On the show
My
today.
My pleasure.
And here's a quick look at the weather. Sunny and breezy this afternoon. The high will be 83. Tonight, increasing cloudiness with a low of 58. And tomorrow, partly sunny and cooler, the high 77. Outlook for Wednesday, partly sunny, the high 78. This is WYLL 90.9 FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana.